On Daf Lamed Omid Beis, let's see where we got up to. We have Omar Abchia Bar Ovin. See if we can find this towards the top of the Amud. The first word in the line is Chia, and the wide lines is four lines down from the top. Yeah?
Yep.
Omar Abchia Bar Ovin, Omar Rav, Halacha Krav Yeshu Ben Karcha. Now let's just try to figure out what's going on in this Gemara. We have an issue of what's called Tziruf Re'iyah. The Tanakam is of the opinion that you need Tziruf Re'iyah. They both have to see it together, these two Eidim. Otherwise we can't form a Kat. And Rabbi Shimon Karch says no. They don't have to see it together. Now, what happens is, according to Rabbi Shimon Ben Karcha, what we're saying is that both the Eidim are testifying, even though they didn't see it together, on the same Mammon, so that we could be mitzarif them through the Mammon, not through the Sipra Maisa, but through the Mammon. So let's give the following example. Let's say the first Eid heard a Hodah about this Mammon, and on a certain day, and the second aid heard a hodah on the same mammon on a different day.
The same amount, not necessarily. It could be two different mammon, possibly.
Oh, so the question is whether it's the same object or it's the same value.
You're right. That's
correct. So let's talk about karka versus metaltel. In the case of karka, we're talking about the same object, meaning that piece of karka, by virtue of two different hodos that took place on two different days. There is a hodah that karka, and there are two eidim that testify on that hodah the karka. So even though one eid heard the hodah on a Sunday and the other on a Monday, nevertheless, both together are being made on the same karka. There was a hodah on that karka. Now, in the case of metaltelin, in the case of movable objects, here we're going to have an issue. For example, a halva is called metaltel. It's certainly not karka. If let's say there was hodah on Sunday with regard to a halva that took place on Sunday. Well, let's say, forget about hodah. Let's say there was an aid who testified befanai hilva, meaning the malva was the toveah was malva to the nitva amon on Sunday, and now another aid comes in and says, well, on Monday in my presence this same toveah was malva amon, let's say, to this same nitva. So that's a little bit more tricky, correct? Because in this case it's not the same halva that they're testifying on, and they're not testifying on like a piece of karka. Again, if let's say there was an object, a metaltelin, and this is done what you were talking about yesterday, whether there are two different metaltelin might look identical. Well, let's say there was one unique metaltelin, we can identify it, and one aid heard a hodah on Sunday on this very same object that the second aid heard a hodah on Monday, then maybe that would also have a din of a karka. But right now we're talking about a case of halva. So that there was halva on Sunday, according to the testimony of one aid, there was halva on Monday, according to the second aid. Now it's true that both aidim are testifying about the same lov and the same malva, that the lov is chayv to the malva, but they're talking about two different mamons. Now, there's one moment of the halva of Sunday, there's another moment of the... Again, if we talk about abstract shavius, that's what I think, Gershon, your point is, both Eidim are testifying that Reuven owes Shimon 1,000, right? It could be he owes him 2,000, but they all agree on 1,000. So that itself is enough to be mitzarif the two Eidim together, because they're both testifying that the nitba owes such and such amount of money to this toveah. So that's the story here with Rabbi Chiya Bar Ov and Omar Rav. He says, Halach Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha bein b'karka b'edus karka u'bein b'edus metaltelin. In both cases, we can be mitzarif them on the same mammon. In the case of karka, we'll be mitzarif them on the same chefza, the same physical object. In the case of two halvos and two and two edim testifying in two different halvos, we can testify in the same abstract mama, not on the physical object, but there's a tziruf on that mana, like because both of them say that there was halva of a mana. But Ula Amar, on the other hand, halacha krabi shuv ben karcha, only bekarkos. We can accept the logic of Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha in the case where we have a tziruf for the two eidim because they're both testifying on this karka. Who owns this very, very piece of real estate? Avalobi metaltolin. In the case of metaltolin, they're not testifying on a particular object, and therefore we can mitzaref them two hodos on the same object. They're in effect testifying on two different alvos, and we don't have the ability to be mitzarif them because there's no full-fledged edus of two edim on any particular chov, not on the first chov nor on the second chov. So that, according to Ula, we're not going to accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha's tziruf to something abstract, some shavu, some value, even though they're both testifying on that chov, on that value of a chov, call it a mana, but nevertheless they're testifying on two different alvos. Here we see one moment from the Alva of Sunday, another moment from the Alva of Monday. We can't be mitzarif to two edim. We're not going to accept Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. But one thing is clear, that Ula admits that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha went as far as to be mitzarif the edios of two different edim on two different days in the case of metaltolin. Because otherwise, why would he say halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha bekarkos avalo b'metaltolin? The words halacha lo b'metaltolin means that we're not accepting Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in the case of metaltolin. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha himself went as far as to say that we can be mitzarif the two edim on metaltolin, even on metaltolin. In fact, Rav, in the first opinion, against Ula, oh, that has to go in the fridge, I didn't get a chance. And Rav, in the first formulation of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, says, oh, thank you so much, yeah, that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, even in the case of metaltolin. That means, obviously, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha argued that we could have a tziruf, not in Re'iyah, but a tziruf in the moment itself. Amalei Abayi was surprised about this whole thing. And he turns to Ula and he says, wait a minute, halacha? You, Ula, say that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha and Karka, but not in metaltolin. Michlal, I understand from, by implication, the pligi. Meaning that there is a machlokes with regard to Edus Karka and with regard to Edus metaltolin. Now, let's try to focus on the following question. And I'm talking to myself here out loud, if you don't mind. When both Rav and Ula agree that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, both in Karka and in Metaltolin. Again, I'm going back to the Tanoim. How do I know this? Because Rav was the one who said that we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, bein b'karka, bein metaltolin. So it means that the Chacham disagreed both in the case of Karka and in the case of metaltolin. And even when we get to Ula, Ula is saying that although we don't accept the halacha of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha as far as he went a little too far, and we're not going to go that far as metaltolin is concerned, but there's no question that even Ula agrees that we have a machlokes between Chacham and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in the case of Karka. In fact, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha in the case of Karka. And that's true, bein lefi Rav, bein lefi Ula. But both Rav and Ula are saying halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha bekarka. Those words, halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha bekarka, reveal illuminate a great light on the fact that the Tanakhama, because if you're saying halacha, you're implying the Tanakhama disagrees, meaning the Chachom disagree in the case of karka. And perhaps that's what bothers Abai's mind. And he says, Michlal de Pligi, you're implying that the Chachamim would disagree. The Omar Rabbi Abom Rav Hunam Rav. We have another statement of Rabbi Abom in the name of Rav, ultimately in the name of Rav. And that is, Modim Chachamim Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Beidus Karka. Meaning, the entire machlokes, according to Rav, between Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, about the case where there was no Tzirif Re'iyah, is in the case of Edus Mamon, of Edus Metaltalin, excuse me. But as far as Edus Karak is concerned, you know, nobody, not even the Chachamim, would require a tziruf in Re'ia, meaning even if Reuven one aid saw or heard something on one day, Shimon saw or heard something on another day. In the case of Karka, we could be mitzarif them even according to the Chachamim. So it means one aid heard a hodah on this Karka on Sunday, another aid heard a hodah on this Karka on Monday, and everybody, even the Chachamim, agree, that's what Rav is saying now, that you can be mitzarif the two aid. Why? Let's explain the logic. As we said before, we have one piece of Karka, and they're both testifying at the end of the day that this Karka, by virtue of an admission of the nitba, belongs to the Toveya, and therefore we can mitzarif the two testimonies together. That's what Rav says. Again, you and I would have said otherwise. We would have said that according to the Shita of the Chachamim, there's an absolute rule that we cannot be mitzarif two Eidim, period. They both have to be testifying together at the same time, at the same place. They're all testifying in the same story. But the Gemara says in the name of Rav, that's not so, that the Chachamim only disagreed about the possibility of being mitzarif the two Eidim that are not in cahoots as far as the Re'iyah, meaning as far as when the Maisa took place, in the case of Metaltalin. That's where we have the Chacham standing up and objecting. The Chacham are not willing to be mitzarif them on a Hodah of Sunday on Alva, Hodah of Monday on Alva. These are two separate halvos, two separate chiyuvim, two separate mamons, and we cannot be mitzarif them. But in the case of Karka, we can be mitzarif them through the Karka, because at the end of the day, both Eidim are testifying on the same Karka, that the nitba was moded to the Toveya. Vitani, we also have a brisa. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, there was a Tana by the name of Karna, and he was like the final word on Dini Momenos, as far as the Zikin are concerned. All of monetary law went through the Beis Medrash of Karna. Yeah, he was the one who brought the brises, and he was the link in the tradition and the transmission of Torah in this specific area. He was the spetz. He was the expert in the Zikin. And we have a brisa that was taught by Rav Idi Bar Ov ben Zikin de Bei Karna. In other words, Rav Idi brought this brisa that we're about to learn from the Beis Medrash of Karna, and that's very reliable, because we're talking about Nezikin now. We're talking about monetary law. And here's the lashon of the brisa. He says, quote, Modim Chachamim Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, in three cases. Number one is Eidus Bechor, we'll get back to that in a minute. Number three is Eidus Chazak, we'll get back to that in a minute. But the second case is Eidus Karka. And with regard to Eidus Karka, we have two Eidim testifying on two different days. Each one heard a Hodah on this Karka on a different day. And yet, according to this Braisa that was taught in Bei Karna, in the Beis Medrash of Karna, everybody, even the Chacham, agree that we can mitzarif the two Eidim in Eidus Karka. So let's talk a little about Eidus Bechor and Eidus Chazaka. Eidus Bechor means that if an animal is a kosher animal, and if it's a firstborn, it's a Bechor, there's a mitzvah of Bechor Behema Tahora, that the Bechor of Behema Tahora has a din of kodshim, it has to be brought on the Mizbeach, and now a mum fell. Now there are two types of mumin, there are many types of mumin, but for our purposes now we're focusing on the following two categories of mum. There's a mum shenasa bidei adam, let's say a person injures an animal, he makes an incision in the animal, and there's a mum ha shenafel me'elov, in other words, it happens as a result of some sort of an accident in nature, but there was no human intervention in creating that mum. Now, in the case of a b'char of behema tahora, and it has a mum, which means that we can no longer bring it on the mizbeach. Mm-hmm. What exactly happened? Was it a mum shenafel me'elov v'lo nasa bidei adam? Or was it a mum shenasa bidei adam? And we'll see the nafkamina in just a second. So here's the case. We have one aid who's testifying that this mum that we're seeing now in this Bechor Behema Tahora was nafal mi'elov. We have another witness who testifies on another mum in the same animal, but it was also nafal omel. So we have two different mumim, and we have two different witnesses respective in each mum, but nevertheless, they both indicate that, again, on each mum separately, that it was a mum shenafal mi'elov. So let's give a little bit of background about a mum shenafal mi'elov. There's a parsha in the Torah of Bechar Behema Tahora, which means that the first male that's born to this mother animal didn't have any other babies whatsoever. She had a baby that was a male, and the owner of this animal was a Jew. If the owner was a guy, there's no mitzvah of Bechar. Now this animal, the very moment it's born, has Kiddusha Me'elov. And the mitzvah is to bring it to the Kohen. However, what happens if it became a Baal Mum? So back at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if this animal was called a Tam means it didn't have any Mum, it was Mukrav, it was brought on the Mizbeah, Chelbo V'Domo. And the Basar, so the Chelav and the Dam was burnt on the Mizbeah, nobody got to eat that, but the Basar was eaten by the Kohen. Where? In Yerushalayim. And that's a Kiyum Karban. However, if the animal became a Baal Mum, then it becomes Chulin, and it could be eaten anywhere on the face of the earth. That was at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Bizman Hazeh, She'en Lanu Takana, we don't have a way out here. La'ochlo, Ad She'ipo Be'elov Mum. So the only way we can possibly eat this behema that's the firstborn male to this animal, to the mother, is only if there's a mum. Because only if there's a mum does it become chulin. And if it's not chulin, it's kodshim, and we can't bring kodshim today on the Mizbeach. So ein lo takana li ochlo ad sheyipol bo mum. But what kind of a mum would be matir this behema of bizman hazeh? It's only a mum shenafal bo me'elov. And if that be the case, then if it's a mum shenafal bo me'elov, it's called a mum kavua, right? There are mumim that are transitory, but we're talking about a mum kavua. And what kind of mum kavua would passel the animal for a karban such that it becomes now chulin and bizman is that we could eat it? And we can eat it anywhere but Torah chulin. That's only if hitel b'mum mi'elov, if nafal b'mum mi'elov. Oh. Avol im naf adam hitel b'mum, if a human being by his own action created a mum, then what he does is, in effect, he violates an isur d'oraisa of hatolas mum b'kodshim. Now again, if you ask me what's the status of the animal after he did this avera, he was actively, deliberately matil mum b'kodshim, the answer is, it is chulin. It's got a mum. It's a mum kavua. However, kansu chachamim, the chacham made a knas, and they were saying that you're not allowed to do this because everybody, you know, who has this firstborn animal is going to be tempted to make sure that there's a mum. So what's he going to do? You know, the animal didn't scrape itself against the wall. It didn't swallow a nail. So what? He's in trouble now. So what is he going to do? He'll be tempted to take a knife and put a little incision in the animal. And that would be an avera of hatolas mum b'kodshim. Because again, the kedusha is me'elov. In other words, with birth, the bechor itself, as peterechem, now is kadosh. There's a whole sugya in the Dharm, for example. I don't want to get off on a tangent, I'll just mention it very quickly. There's a whole sugya in the Dharm about hatfasa. Right? You could be matvis, a kikar, onto something that also has a flaw, that also became asur as a result of some Hakdasha. So for example, Hegdesh, I was magdish it. Now I can take another object, which is a kikar, could be matvis it and say, Arei zu kizu, but not in the case of a bechor, because a bechor is not a neder. The iser and kedusha of bechor is me'elov. So now I have a kedusha, I have an animal in my corral, and it's got kedusha, and it has to be brought on the mizbech. What do I do with it? So I'm tempted to want to be matil mum, because then the animal becomes chul, and I can eat it anywhere. But if I do so, Chas Shalom, then I violate the Isur HaTolas Mum B'Kodshim. So Chacham wanted to make a geder to make sure that people would not be tempted, that people should overcome the temptation to be Matil Mum. So they said, look, buddy, if you're Matil Mum B'Kodshim and you do it, you know, deliberately as a human activity, then we're not going to allow you to eat that bechor. That it's not going to be mutter be'achila. Why? Because you created that mum. And all this is a sugya bechoros daf lamed dalet. Here in the Masifta, he tells you that you'll see that roim, that the Gemara establishes that shepherds, if we don't have clear cut testimony, we're always afraid that maybe they were matil mum biatzma, because again they have a lot of vested interest here to be matil the bechoros that are born in that eder with a mum by through that becomes chulin through a mum. So in any event, Chazal were very afraid of this chashad that people would, as we said before, would actively, deliberately create a mum in a bechor. So now what we do is we need edus, we need testimony in order to be matir this bechor. We have to make sure that the mum that we're looking at in the animal was not humanly generated, but rather happened me'elov. And if it's if we can look at the mum and we can tell sometimes from the mum itself that there was human intervention here, then nobody's going to be believed to say that, hey, this happened by, you know, the animal, you know, its leg got cut because the animal tripped into a knife, you know, and saying that we're not going to believe that. So that's called in the Lashon of Shas, a mum ha'asui lavo bidei adam. You know, asui means, if you look at it, let's say the animal lost, a leg was cut off, or a slice under its ear, I mean, how would that happen? So it looks like it was bidei adam. So in that case, the roeh, for example, he wants to say that me'atzmo nofal, it happened automatically. We don't trust the roeh. So imagine that the roeh takes an animal, he gives it back to you. It was a bechor, and now all of a sudden it has a mum. So what we do is we bring the animal to a mumche, and he has to determine the nature of this mum. And we need two witnesses to testify that this mum was nafal mi'elov. In other words, in this case, you're sort of guilty until proven innocent. And we're going to assume that if there's, you know, this kind of a mum in the animal, again, you have to know what kind of mum you're dealing with, and for that we need a mumcha. But in certain cases, since it looks like, you know, the evidence seems to point to the direction that there was some human hanky-panky going on over here, intervention to create this mum, then we're going to require two witnesses to testify, no, we know that this mum was nafal mi'elov. However, what we have now is a situation where we have two edim that are testifying. One is made on one mum that it was nafal mi'elov, and the other on another mum that it was nafal mi'elov. So, can we be mitzarif these two eidim to be matir the bechor? And getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, Modim Chacham Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha be eidus bechor, that we have two witnesses, and they each are testifying to be matir the bechor. And each one on its individual respective mum is saying that it was a mum shenafal b'mi elov, and we could be mitzarif the two. Now, this is according to Rashi's pshat in the sugya. If you take a look at Tosus Divra Maschil b'edus, he says pirush eshamu mi aviv zecher ze ish ploni ben becharhu. What does this mean? So he says the following: we're not talking about bechar behema. Because in the case of Bechor Behema, Tosus thinks that all you need is one aid, you don't need two witnesses, but rather we're talking about an aid that testifies that he heard from so-and-so, B'ni Zehu Bechor. So we're not dealing with Bechor Behema, but rather we're talking with Bechor Adam. Now the second aid is testifying that on a different occasion, he heard from the same man that this son of mine is a Bechor. And now the Nafka Mina is, after his death, whether or not this Bechor would collect Pishnayim and he would take a second portion from the estate, in effect, taking it away from the other Yarshim. So again, you might ask, well, each aide is really testifying on the father, that he heard from the father that he identified this son as a Bechor. So at the end of the day, you only have really one aide, because it always comes back to the father. So for this, we have to know a Sugyan Yevamos. The Gemara says, Adam Neman Lomar Ze Bini Bechor, that the father has special nemanas. He's upgraded to the status of like two aidim to identify his Bechor. So the Gemara is now telling us that if you have two aidim and they both heard the father's statement, his testimony that this is the Bechor, then we can be mitzarif the two aidim together. And we're going to assume now, based on the aidus of two aidim, that the father identified this Bechor as his Bechor. And now the Bechor will inherit Pishnaim B'Yerusha. And we commit Sarif the two aidim. And now Rava says, who is it? Not Rava, it's Karna. And the Brice of Karna was brought by Rav Idi, that even the Chachamim who hold that you need aidus on the same Maisa, which is called Sirif Re'iyah, in the case of Bechor, we have two Adim who heard this pretty much the same identical Hodah. They heard it two times, in which the father identified his son as Bechor, and that's enough. Rashi's pshat is a little more complicated, because according to Rashi, since they're testifying on two different Mumim, you're going to have to assume that if these Mumim according, it's a little complicated, because the owner of the animal, would not be tempted to create a mum. In other words, if there's already a mum on Nafal Mielov, then the animal itself is already chulin. So each testimony really, in effect, is a testimony on the owner of the animal, or the roe, that he wasn't matil a mum, because there already was a mum in the animal. I mean, again, it's complicated, because what was the sequence? Maybe the second mum happened naturally, but the first mum was done through... Anyway, we're not choshish for that. So, b'kitzar ma'isa, bein l'rashi, bein l'tosis, we have a case of edus b'char, whether it's b'char behema to establish that it's a balas mum, and therefore it's chulin, or whether it's a b'char adam to establish that the b'char gets pishnaim from the nachla. And whichever way you slice the cake, according to the Braisa of Karna brought by Rav Idi, Chachamim agree that you can mitzarif the two Eidim. Then we have Eidus Karka. Now Eidus Karka, as we said before, each one of these two Eidim heard a Hodah on a different day, that the Nitva was moded, that this Karka belongs to the Toveah, and then we can mitzarif the two Eidim together, even according to Chachamim, on the Karka. And finally, we have the last case of Eidus Chazaka. So this has to do with a perek in Bava Basra, the third perek, which is called Chezkas Habatim. We have a machzik on the karka. Somebody is sitting on this karka, and he's exploiting the karka, and eating its peros for 3 years continuously. That's called Ritzufos, 3 continuous years. Let's say, for example, we'll take just that arbitrarily a Shemitah cycle. So there's 3 years and then another 3 years until we get to Shemitah. So in the first 3 years of the Shemitah cycle, according to the testimony of one aid, this individual, we'll call him the Nitva, was machzik the karka for 3 years continuously. Then the second aid comes in and he testifies that this same Nitva was machzik the karka for 3 consecutive years towards the second half of the Shemitah year. So there's no overlap. There's eidus of one eid on the first 3 years, there's an eid who's testifying on the second 3 years, and the Braisa says we can be mitzarif the two eidim, which means that the machzik is we believe to say that he bought this field and he lost his shtar, he doesn't have any documentation to prove it, because at the end of the day he has two eidim who are testifying on 3 years of chazaka. Now again, clearly there's no tsiruf re'iyah over here, because the first eid saw during these 3 years, the second eid during the other 3 years, and they didn't see together the machzik holding on to the karka. But nevertheless, we can mitzarif the two eidim on the karka itself. You know, it's both eidim are in effect testifying that this machzik is really the owner of the karka.
Good question.
Yeah.
Are you saying, or is it saying, that the Tanakama, which we previously learned allows both. In other words, you requires both, that they must be and there must also be testimony together, two witnesses together, right?
I'm not sure. I don't remember our final conclusion. I know that yesterday we vacillated back and forth. If you hold, like the Tanakhama, that you need Siruf in Re'iyah. Oh, you mean the Hekish. Oh, you're right, right. Okay, you reminded me of the Hekish. Let me just go over this in my mind. Sorry, Don. I know I'm cutting you off in the middle, but just want to go over this in my mind. So yesterday we mentioned that there's a Hekish, according to the Tanakhama, between Re'iyah and Haggadah. And the Tanakhama says to the same extent that we need Siruf in Re'iyah, and that was based on the Pasuk of Hu Eid, right, the Chazi Kechadah. We also need Siruf and Haggadah. They have to come into Beis Din and testify together because there's a hekesh between Re'iyah and Haggadah.
Okay, and now the Brisa from Karne is saying that the sages agree with Rabbi
Yehoshua ben Korach,
which only requires testimony together but not seeing together. So it's a different position than before. It's a question. There's a question mark at the end.
Right, but let's, again, the names here, I don't know if they're important for us.
At least
at this moment,
at least in these three cases, that seems to be what they're saying.
Right. Well, so again, let's leave out Haggadah, because again, if you can introduce Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, as far as Haggadah is concerned, then we came to the conclusion yesterday that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha is in the camp of Rabbi Nosson. And if Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha drops the requirement of Tziruf in Re'iyah, then certainly he drops the requirement of Tziruf in Haggadah. But I don't know if we're talking now about Haggadah. I would leave out Haggadah. Let's focus on Re'iyah. So again, what is the machlokes? Where is the battlefield of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha as far as Tziruf Eidei Re'iyah, Eidus Re'iyah? The Re'iyah has to be Mitzuruf. Comes along Karno, like you say, and he tells us that we have to severely limit that machlokas. The battlefield is a much more limited battlefield than we ever dreamed of. Because I'm going to give you three cases, and maybe there are more, we could make these cases into paradigmic cases, but at least there are three cases, three scenarios, in which even the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda, to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, that we don't need what? Siruf Re'iyah. And on the list, which is the most pressing for us, all three cases are very fascinating, but what's most pressing for us is Eidus Karka. So that one Eid heard a Hodah on this Karka on Sunday, the other heard a Hodah on Monday, and yet we're going to be Mitzarif the two together, even according to the Chachamim. And therefore, Abai is asking Rabbi Chia in the name of Rav, why did you tell me Halacha ki Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha b'karka? And that's certainly something that Ula would also enunciated, the same phrase, that Halacha Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha b'karka. What do you mean Halacha? Halacha mechlal de pligi. Whenever you say that Halacha is like him, it implies that the Chacham disagree. Well, what are you going to do with this price of Karno? And this price says that in Eidus Karka, even the Chacham agree that you don't need Tziruf Re'iyah. So it means that the Re'iyah and the Shmiah, I should say, of the Odah of the first Eid is not the same as the Re'iyah of the second Eid, because they both saw, again, in quotation marks, they saw the Hodah on two different days. Now, the Brice of Karna adds another case. Okay, this has to do with Godless. Now, you know that a child, let's say a female child, is a minor up to the age of 12, a male child until the age of 13, but that's not enough. That's only half the story. That's Shonin. In order to make that transition between a minor, a katan, and a gadol, it's not enough to reach a certain age. You also need what's called simanim. I should write that on the board. But anyway, simanim, in our context, again, the word simanim could mean a million different things, but in our context, simanim means shtei saros. And, I hate to translate this into English, but loosely it means two pubic hairs. I mean, there are a thousand different nuances about exactly how and when and how long and where they found and blah, blah, blah. But what happens in the following scenario? You have two witnesses testifying on two different things. What happens? So I thought it meant that one witness is testifying on one seira and the other on the other seira. Let me just see if I'm right. Maybe I made a mistake. Just give me a second to clear my head. V'chein shebeben v'shebebas. Okay, so we'll have to figure this out, because I thought that it meant that they're testifying on two different saros. Let's say, you know, the hairs could be in different parts of the body. They're all in the general same area, but it could be different parts. There's one in front, one in the back. We'll get into that later, if it's Hashem. But if one aid testifies on one ser, let's say in the front, and one in the back, no. That can't be pshat. That can't be pshat, because that's called chatzi dover. Does anybody know what chatzi dover means? Very good. Chatzi dover means, let's say in Chazaka, remember we spoke about the matzik eats the karka, the fruits of the karka for 3 years. What happens if you have two edim that testify on 1 year, two edim on another year, and two edim on a third year? You know, three pairs of witnesses, each on 1 year. That's called chatzi dover. I'm not sure, but anyway, there is such a sheet. Chatzi dover means that although you might be only one aid, but at least you're testifying on the dover shalom. And here, if there's one aid that right, so you're going to have to say the following, that each one of these two aidim testified on two saros, but the two aidim are testifying on two different saros. You follow two different sets of saros. So you have one aid who's testifying on the saros in the front of her body, or his body, and the other pair of Edom are testifying on two saros on the back of his body. So we're talking about two different. So the question is, we need two. This is called Ein Dover Shebeirav Box Mishnayim. In other words, when any difference in personal status is called a Dover Shebeirav. So we want to change the status of a Katan to a Gadol, or a Katana to a Gadola, and for that we need two witnesses. It's no different than Dine Momenos, which require two witnesses. And the problem is that we have no tsiruf re'iyah, because the witness that saw the two saros here is not the same as the two saros that the second witness saw there. And yet, this braisa of Karna says that even the Chacham would agree to Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha that since they're both testifying that this child is now a gadol, then we can mitzarif the two witnesses, because they're all testifying on the status of this person. So it's like karka. You know, if you're testifying on the ownership of the karka, we can mitzarif the two edim, even though they saw two different, heard two different things. Okay, now we're ready for the bottom line here. This is Abaye's bottom line here. We see clearly from the Brice of Karna that there was never a machlokas about Eilus karka, and even the Chacham agree that in Eilus karka you don't need tzira for iya. And one aid heard a hodah on this karak on Sunday, the other heard a hodah on Monday. We can put together the two aidim, and we can establish that the nitba was moded to the tovea, and the tovea is awarded the karka. And that's true even according to the chachamim. So why did you, Ula, say halacha ke chachamim ke Rav Yishuv ben Karcha be karka, implying that the chacham disagree? So the Gemara rejects this kasha of Abaye. Gavra karamis. And if you want to write those four words down in your lexicon, because you'll see this all over Shas, whenever the Gemara asks a kasha, a stira from one person to another, the Gemara says, agavra, agavra, karamis. You can't ask a kasha from one person to the other, because, you know, there are different opinions. You know, now this is a little bit, it is a little bit difficult, this Gemara, because usually gavra, gavra, karamis means that they're two tanoim, or two amoron. Here, we have a braisa of Karna, and the braisa of Karna has the status of tanoim. But nevertheless, since we're talking about the machlokas tanoim here between Rabbi Shuv ben Karcha and the Chachamim, so then, if we have a braisa that says that reports that machlokas did not apply, you know, as we restrict that machlokas, and it did not include the case of karka, then that apparently is one view of the tanoim. And the other view of the tanoim, just 1 second, Amrav Chia bar Oven Amarav or Ulo, just 1 second. So why is that Gavra Gavra Karamis? let me read this a little bit further. Mar sover pligi umar sover lo pligi. One second. So mar sover pligi is a reference to Ula, as we said before. Now, who's the other mar sover lo pligi? I would have said that that's Karna. Umar sover lo pligi. Oh boy, he says here. Not sure exact. Oh, okay. Just we'll have to be very patient here. Don't jump on me. But he writes here that Mar Sover Lo Pligi is a reference to Rav Idi Bar Ovin. Now it's a little bit strange because Rav Idi Bar Ovin is quoting a brisa of Beikarna, so that would have the status of Tanoim. Now it's true that Rav Idi himself is an Amora, and certainly the way he heard, he had the transmission, there was never a machlokas in the case of Edus Karka, but nevertheless, his tradition dates back to, now I think I understand what he's saying. He's saying that Ula also had a tradition. Ula also, in other words, it's not that Ula came up with this on his own, that there's a machlokas between Chachomim, Rabbi Yishuv, and Karcha, even in the case of Karka. That wasn't Ula's chiddush. Apparently, Ula heard this as part of the transmission of the machlokas Tanoim, that there was in fact a version that was handed down that the Chachomim disagreed with Rabbi Yishuv and Karcha, even in the case of Edus Karka. Let me just read to you the note over here. He says, V'af sh'rav idi bar oven hevi b'raisa kamos. So mikom kom docha gemara she'en lahakshus men al ula. Mishum she'ula, oh, he says a different thing. Ula yitarit sh'a b'raisa mishubeshes. V'ein lismoch olea me'acher she'ilo nishtana b'beis midrashim shel Reb Chia v'Rabbi Oshia. So it seems that the final word on giving the okay to Brisos was Rav Chia and Rav Oshia. Rav Chia, I don't know about Rav Oshia, but I assume Rav Oshia as well. But I know about Rav Chia. Rav Chia was at the time of the Tanon. In fact, the status of Rav Chia is questionable. Sometimes Rav Chia is considered a Tano because he brings the transmission and the tradition of the Tanoim. Sometimes he's considered Amora when he comes up with his own idea. But nevertheless, if you want to know, you want to clarify exactly what, you know, what the precise, accurate transmission of Machlokas Tanoim is, then the first person you want to call up on the phone is Rabbi Chia, because he was the Balabas. He was the final authority on the Brisos. And again, I'm leaving out Rav Oshia because the truth is that it's not just Rav Chia, but it's also Rav Oshia. And apparently, Ula understood from Rav Chia and Rav Oshia. Notice, we have a Brisa. The Brisa says, records Machlokes Shin the Chachomer Rav Yishuv and Karcha, as to whether or not you need what? You need Sira for Ir. And if the Brisa doesn't qualify it, then we assume that it's an absolute halacha, meaning that according to Chachamim, it's absolute that you must have Tzirif Re'ia in all circumstances. Otherwise, Rav Chi and Rav Oshia are not doing their due diligence. They should have told us when they formulated or shall we say transmitted this machlokas, they should have transmitted it together with its restriction, its limitation. They didn't do so. So therefore, Ula is relying on, so to speak, a Brisa, meaning, again, not that it says in the Brisa explicitly that the Chacham require Tzir Friya in the case of Karka, but from the absence to the contrary, we could always assume that the Machlokas includes all cases, even Edus Karka. So that would have been Ula's understanding. It's very similar to what we tried to say. Then we have the tradition of Rav Idi, that Rav Idi had a brisa from Debei Karna, and in that tradition, the Chachamim agreed in the case of Eidus Karka. That's what we have. So that's called Gavra Gavra Karamis, meaning you have no right to ask a stira from one Amora to another Amora. Each Amora in this particular case had a tradition as to the extent, the scope of the Machlokas Tanoim. And you can't ask a kasha from one to the other. Each one has his rights, you know, he's entrenched in his understanding of the Braisa, of the Machlokas. Now, he quotes the Yad Rama in explaining the Braisa of Karna. Basically, all four cases fit the following description. Hatam, why is it that the Chacham agree that you can mitzarif the two Eidim even though they didn't have a Re'iyah together testifying on two actions that took place, or two stories that took place on two different days? Mishum Shebaufanim Elu, in all these four cases, Me'idim Shnei Eidim Al Dovar Echad. Now let's see how that works out. Me'idim Shnei Eidim Al Dovar Echad. Number one, on Guf HaBechor, so they're both testifying on two different movement, but nevertheless on the Bechor, as to whether or not it was Nafal Me'elov, right, the Mum was Nafal Me'elov. It's a little bit strange, because I would have said they're each testifying on the Mum, but the answer is we don't care about the Mum, we care about the Behemah. In other words, the Sipra Maisa is about the Mum. I mean, this aide recognizes this Mum, and he knows the history of this Mum. The other aide doesn't know anything about that Mum. He has a different Mum, and he testifies about it. But it's all considered Guf Echad, meaning the Eidus is on the same Bechar. Is this animal a Bechar with Kedushas Mizbeach, or is it not a Bechar, and it's Chulin? And we have two Eidim testifying that it's Chulin. Again, I'm not happy with this according to Rashi. According to Tosis, I'm very happy. According to Rashi's pshat, that there are two different movement in the animal. So I don't know how this aid, any one of the two aidim that you want to pick out, could really comfortably testify that there's no knas over here. That definitely there was no human, you know, intervention. Because okay, there was no human intervention on this moon, but maybe there was human intervention on the other moon. I don't know. You have to have a chazaka here that we assume that if one moon was natural, then the other moon is, you know, why would he have put a, even though again, we don't know which came first, fine, I don't know. That for that, I guess you'd have to learn Bechoros. Then he goes to number two. I'm back in the Yad Rama. V'al Osa Karka. Right, they're both testifying about the same karka, and they each heard on a different day a hodah with regard to this karka. That I find very smooth sailing. Then we have the case of chazaka, and that's a little bit more complicated because the first aid is testifying on the first 3 years, and the second on the second. Oh yeah, because again, keep in mind, Rabbi Osei, in order for the machzik to establish his ownership, even in the absence of a shtar, all he needs is 3 years of chazaka. He doesn't need 6 years of chazaka. So any 3 years continuous of achilas karka is a chazaka. So basically the two witnesses are testifying that this karka belongs to the machzik. And if you know, they're two different stories, but the karka belongs to the machzik. And finally we get to the case of the Ben Ubas, and he says that's also al oso ben or al oso bas. The two Eidim are testifying as to the status of that ben or that bas. Again, even though they're testifying on two different saros, and again, as I said to you before, we have to assume that each Eid is testifying on two saros, but they're not testifying these two Eidim on the same two saros. So it's exactly identical to the case that we mentioned about chazaka, because both Eidim are testifying that this Ben is a Gadol, this Bas is a Gedola. Which two Saros, that's a matter of question, but in other words, I'm not going to say that, wait, you know that she's a Gedola? Because you saw two Saros, but you can't establish that she's a Gedola, you need another aid. You're here alone, do you have another aid? She says, yeah, here's the other aid. Yeah, but he comes in and he testifies on a different two Saros. But it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, no matter which two Saras they are, we have Eidus Gemura, we have two Eidim that are testifying that that she has two Saras or he has two Saras. So that's the Yad Ramah. Now, he quotes here a Binyan Shlomo, but he doesn't tell you what he says. He only tells you what he asks. And if you want to know the answer, he says you got to go back to the end of this book. You know, at the end of this book, you have something called the Yalkut Biurim. Are you familiar with this? Okay. The Yalkut Biurim is about 200 pages long in very small print. Anyway, he quotes an answer to the Kasha of the Binyan Shlomo. The Binyan Shlomo wants to know, why did Karna feel it necessary? Why is he compelled to mention four different cases? Is there a chiddush in each one of the cases?
What are the four, if there are three?
Well, let me go over the four cases. Number one, we have Bechor.
Right.
Number two, we have Karka. Number right. three, we have Chazaka. Number right. four, we have Benubas.
Ah, it operates like a Chazaka, but
yeah, what do you want to answer the Binyan Shlomo's question? Well, that would be exciting. Yeah, go ahead. I have a partial answer. I mean, it's not going to tell. Yeah, go ahead.
No, if you're distinguishing between Chazaka and the men of the Bas,
yeah,
then you're considering that a different category, but it operates similar to the Chazaka.
Yeah, it's very similar. Yeah, it's really, really similar. So let me just try to, again, I'm just going to take 5 minutes to take a stab at this. Perhaps we could say the following. If we take Rashi's understanding of Bechor, then it's a gigantic chiddush in the case of Bechor, because each aid is really testifying on something that's not reliable in a sense, because he can testify about one mum, that doesn't really tell you anything about the other mum. I mean, if the owner of the animal, or the roeh, more likely, put a mum in the animal deliberately, that's a nafal bidei adam, then the knas is in place. So in truth, neither one of these two eidim could give us alone, independent, enough evidence to go on. I mean, even if I would accept each eid as if he were two eidim, he doesn't know beans about the other mum. Let's take a look at Rashi. Be'edus Bechor, you have it? It's about 10 lines down from the top. Tnan b'bechoros, kol mumin aru'uyim lovo bidei adam ro'im ko'anim enam ne'monim lomer me'elev nafal bo mum zeh l'fishenech shedu ko'anim lahatil mumim b'bechoros. This reminds me of the sugi we had about Perishviz, that the ko'anim are choshed on Perishviz. And here the no offense, Tom. So, but here the Kohanim, if they're roim, they're choshim on hatolas mum bebechoros, bezman hazeh, kdei latir b'shchita, v'yim hevi bechor, hevi bechor, he brings it to the baki, right, to the mumcha, v'ar oso l'chacham tzorek shnei edim imo, sheme elev nafal bo mum zeh, v'yim hevi eid acher al mum zeh, V'yim hevi eid echad al mum zeh, v'eid echad al mum acher, b'bechor zeh, mitztarf. Gee, I don't know why that is so. Let me just see. He has what's called Biurei Rashi in the back. Again, 99 of 100 doesn't help me one iota, but it's worth the effort just to see if he enhances this Rashi by some chance. So what's the Dibra Maschil? Biedis Bechor, correct? Let's see. He doesn't speak about every single Rashi. He chooses, you know, a couple of Rashis from each page. So let's just see if by chance he has something here on Edus Bechor. So far I don't see anything about Edus Bechor. Page, let me just make sure I'm on the right page. Oh, here it is. I was on the wrong page. Okay. Tzorech shnei edim imo sheme elev nafal bom im hevi eid echad al mum zeh vi eid echad al mum acher v'bechor zeh mitztarfim, and he adds, this is his commentary, he says, "Mitztarfim ha'edim lahatir es ha'bechor." And then he has a footnote here, number Shin. Let's see if he adds anything here. Ah, no, he's bothered by something else. This has to do with Eid mi pi Eid mi b'chor svi ein kol tzorech with tzarev shnei. I'm sorry. No, I'm definitely missing a piece of the puzzle here. Shari bira tosvis shodas Rabbi Shimon imheidu kain tzorech shnei Eid. Yeah, he has a whole discussion here about Madua, Shalom Sharei Ein Alocha. Just 1 second. So again, what's happening here? Each aid is testifying on a different mul, correct? B'chor, Eidus, B'chorvein, L'hoid, Matir, L'chom, B'mo'af, Eidus, Zu, Shnei, Eidim, Itztarfen. Eidim, Ishachochem. Oh, that's something else. Oh, that's something. Oh, that's a whole different discussion. He's saying that the Eidim were not testifying on the Mum, but rather the Eidim were testifying on the Chacham. Each Eid testifies that he heard the Chacham being Matir, this B'chor. The trouble is, that's what this whole long, long footnote is about, that we have a principle called aid me pi aid, that an aid cannot bring in the testimony of another aid. So if the Chacham was there to testify, that's fine. But for the aid to this, so now the question is, Tosa says that we're talking about Bechar means b'ni ze Bechar, that each aid heard the father testify that this son, to identify him as Bechor, that also should come under Eid Mi Pi Eid. So he says that because the father is granted a special privilege, a special status of Nemanus, as if he were to aid him, therefore it's not called Eid Mi Pi Eid, because since Adam Neman Lomer Zeb Bini Bechori, then each aid is basically giving us what we need to know. So I'm just thinking out loud, what would be in the following case? Let's say there was a litigation between Reuven and Shimon, and one aide would testify that he was there when Bezdin made a decision, and they said that Reuven has to pay Shimon. Another aide comes in, he says, well, there was another litigation in another Bezdin, and the conclusion was that Reuven has to pay Shimon. Yeah, that would be the same Lechores two Halvos. I don't know if we could we mitzarif them. Then I would say according to Chachom, we cannot be mitzarif them. So why is it that in the case of Yerusha, you have one aid testifying that he heard from the father, another testimony that he heard from the father, and the Chachom say you could be mitzarif them? If he says I heard from Bezdin, because here in the case of Bechor, we're talking about the same Bechor. And we're identifying the Bechor. So you have two aid in identifying the Bechor based on the Neman Alai Ab, Nemanus of the Father. But in the case where there were two Chiyuvim from two different sources, then there's nothing to be Mitzarif. That's what I think is going on over here. So I have to tell you, I'm missing a piece of the puzzle. I don't know why, according to Rashi, this would be Tziruf. All right, let's just go on. We only have a few seconds left, a few minutes left, maybe. And the Gemara says, "My, what does it mean? V'chein shebeben u'shebebas. What is each witness individually testifying about? Elam, if you're going to tell me that eid echad omer achas b'gaba, v'eid echad omer achas b'kresa." If each one of the Eidim only see and testify on one of the two sorrows, and we need to put together the two witnesses and be mitzarif them to create an Eidus on two sorrows. So one saw an Erev on the front side, and the other saw another Seir on Kresa. My Kresa is somewhere down in her lower abdomen area, but it's not exactly in the same area, but it's enough to establish her godless, because that part of the lower part of the abdomen is also called the makom erva in the broadest sense, even though physically they're separated, one is much higher on the body than the other. So that's enough. But here he writes, if it was mamish bekresa, in other words, he's saying that the Gemara used the word kresa here, but it's really not kresa, because kresa, which means the abdomen, that's not a siman godless. The ser has to be on the lower abdomen. He doesn't want to spell it out because of lashon nekiyah. Fine. So the Gemara says, "Hi, in this case, chatzi davar v'chatzi edus hu." We have a principle of edus velo chatzi edus. So, for example, let's say you would have had two witnesses on each of these two saros. We would still have to throw out the edus because each pair of edim is only testifying on chatzi davar. Because we need edus on shtei saros. Edus on one ser is not going to establish godless. Ella, but rather we have to assume echad omer shtayim begabov, echad omer shtayim bekresa, that each ed is testifying on godless, a total edus shlema, because each ed saw two saros. Again, the two edus saw two different saros. But in this case, the Brisa of Karnas establishes that even the Chachamim would agree that you could be mitzarif the two Edim, even though each one saw something different, so there's no tzirif for Iyah, but nevertheless we can mitzarif them because they're testifying both on the same bas, on the same person. Each one of the two Edim is establishing through their Edus that this person, this Bas, is a Gedola. Just like in the case of Karka, we had two Edim that established that the Karka belongs to the Tovea by virtue of two different Odos of each Edim, testifying a different Odah, but each Odah in itself is a Dover Shalem that the Karka belongs to the Tovea. And in the case of the Bechor, let's say each Edim is testifying that this young man is the Bechor because I heard from the father his testimony to identify this Bechor. And in the case of Chazaka, each one of the two Edim on 3 years is testifying on the bailus, the ownership of the Machzik. And in all those cases we can mitzarif the two, and even the Chachamim agree that we can mitzarif the two. Okay, then Rabbi Osei, this is where we'll stop. We'll make a note that we're up to Omer Rav Yosef. Can I borrow this for a second? Okay, Amar Rav Yosef. And we'll pick that up, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow. Okay then? Okay.